Blog Talk Radio.
Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And welcome. How's everybody doing? I'm doing great. So welcome to the show. And if you want to call and get a reading, we're trying to reframe ourselves from saying free because actually the definition of free means has no worth. So what's another situation? Call and get a reading. All you got to do is call 646-721-9031 or for a private reading. These sessions are inexpensive, but yes, we had a couple of confusing people. The situation thought they were free or didn't cost anything, but they do. And so if you want to call for a private reading, if you have some situations or private matters that you need to discuss in private, just give us a call, 740-500-8863, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Our April special is you can get three 90-minute sessions, only $100. So call now, book. Those things are happening quick, and people are just calling us left and right. Guarantee after the show's over with, it'll be busy, busy, busy. So the 90-minute sessions are usually good for anything you want, but usually we have them for relationship counseling, life coaching, sessions where we work on manifestation, meditations, and that kind of stuff, which we do it all. So if you actually also have parties and stuff like that coming up and you want a psychic at your party, just give us a call, 740-500-8863. It's only $150 flat fee for parties. We also do have group rates, too, where you can actually have a group of 5 or 10 of your friends and it's only going to cost you $150 for a whole session. There's no time limit, not like that. So once the fee's paid and that kind of stuff like that, we'll just sit there and show up at the party or the sessions that you want to do, and whatever happens, happens in the situation. We guarantee you on the group readings that your friends and everybody who shows up for this group session will definitely get at least 20 minutes on just themselves as well. So give us a call, 740-500-8863. Also, just opened this shop back in October. So if you're in the Colorado Springs area and you'd like to sit there and get a reading, or if you're just in Colorado or hear us and you're going to be here for vacation, the tourist season is kicking in. And we're going into the summer, spring and summer months. So therefore, if you're going to be in Manitou Springs, Colorado, please stop by the shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. It's Psychic X Journeyman above the door, which we actually have a name for the shop now, too, as well. We're just trying to find somebody to make us a plaque up, and it's called the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop. So if you want to do a personal session, want to come in, more than welcome to do. You want to call ahead of time and you'll be in the area and you want to set an appointment. Hey, it's a whole lot easier, a lot simpler to do it that way, too, and we'll be expecting you. So give us a call. Same number, 740-500-8863. Also, if you're looking for a situation where you say, hey, you know, somebody like to have a really great meditation, I'm trying to find out, or maybe get a hold of some information or CDs or MP3 downloads where you want to sit there and, make it a more rewarding experience, go to www.hemisync.com. Which they have CDs and MP3 downloads, which are a whole lot less expensive too as well. And the idea of having that great experience, okay? Experiences, so keep that whole thing as well, because HemiSync is a technology it actually puts things together. What is the tone underneath the music? It actually sets off. It's a tone that actually the brain reacts to, where both hemispheres, left and right hemispheres of your brain, work together, which will give you intense focus and concentration. They also have subliminal downloads too as well. So check those out. Also, there's another company called BrainSync at www.brainsync.com. And they have subliminal CDs too as well. And I actually have used both companies and their CDs and their MP3 downloads. And it's really great, great, because they actually have meditations and subliminal downloads where you can actually focus on attracting love, wealth, money, the idea of manifestation, focusing on subliminal messages, and it can actually help you in the process of focusing on those things. And on top of that, you can use the HemiSync CDs too as well to give you more intense concentration and focus. So it can actually be, you know, 10 times rewarding, 10 times this than the other. So we should check that out. And I think you can actually get a test of these things on Amazon.com. What you do is you go to Amazon.com, go into the area where it says MP3 downloads, and they actually have a lot of spiritual meditations. Now, these are 60-minute meditations, and you can get them for like 99 cents. Sometimes you can get them for 89 cents. They do have full albums where you can actually get those, somewhere between $5 and $8 an hour. I don't know, so $5 to $8 per downloads. So check it out, because all I do is get the separate ones for 99 cents, and that, I actually have about, and they actually have a thing where you can actually download download where you can actually play them on your computer. They have their own, or you can use your own, because you do download them after you buy them into your computer, and you save them, but they also have this MP player, I guess you would call it, where you have them all right there so you can pick and choose. Right now I have over, I think, 172 of those, so check them out. It's really cool. If you want to cut your phone bill in half, go to www.straighttalk.com. I've actually done that myself, and I actually have Android phones and all those things. So if you're sitting there trying to deal with the other companies and that kind of stuff, or hidden costs and that kind of stuff, just go to www.straighttalk.com, and you'll see the idea. The whole thing is a whole lot more simpler, and you'll never pay more than $45 to $60 a month. It's $45 a month for unlimited everything, okay? Or $60 for unlimited everything, but also having access, we can actually call internationally. Okay, so give it a try. And they also have another thing going on now, if you want to have a home phone, I think it's like 14 something a month. There's a little bit of up cost before when you get it down, when you actually get in your house, but it's a house phone. It works off your phone line. And once you get past that initial cost of some of the equipment you got to buy, I think it's only 14 something, 14 or something like that. I'm pretty sure it's $14.99 or around that price a month. It's a whole lot, thing. Let me get about everything and anything else you'd like to do with your regular house phone. I'm just, if you want to add that kind of thing yourself, or you have a business, be really good to do that. So check it out. Let's get on with our show and see what's going on. Yes, we changed it now. We're actually, I'm your host, Psychic X Journey Man. My friends call me Donnie. This is my show, Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link, where we actually go into a lot of topics and that kind of stuff to show you that everything can be traced back to spirit, because that's who you are. A true spiritual entity, and the ideal spirit is pure love. So therefore, we're all looking for true love, soulmates, twin flames, which are all based on the same concept. I think sometimes we have a tendency to reverse the whole thing and start focusing on the physical chemistry. Okay, but after all that stuff happens and everything falls into place, what's after? That's the big key of everything else, and the idea of having true love. Having a long-term relationship is the ideal of love afterwards. It's also the ideal of getting down with women and saying, you know something, snap out of it. If you had a crazy-ass guy who doesn't want to sit there and communicate with you, talk to you, or anything on that kind of thing, or even wants to cooperate, wants to play the game about indecisiveness, wants to sit there and do a whole kind of things with not communicating with you at all on his wants, needs, and desires, it's the ideal to understand. The reflection back at you is the ideal of asking yourself, what do you want? What do you need? What do you desire? Since this person can't really focus on the ideal of being true with himself, of what he really wants with his life, in relationships as in the ideal of wants, needs, and desires, it's reflected back at you. Maybe you need to do the same thing. And the process is not the ideal of making a choice. Should you stay with the person, or should you deal with it, and that kind of stuff. It's realizing you're not responsible for nobody. except for one person, and that's you. And the more you make yourself responsible for just you and the idea of the changes that you make in your own life, it changes everything across the board, and your life will get a whole lot better because you're taking 100% accountability for your life and realizing all the decisions you've made has created this life up to this point. So if you don't like it, then you can change it just as quick as you created it, okay? So just put that in perspective. If you're in the chat room and you'd like to ask a couple questions, feel free to do so. Send us an IM, whatever you need to do. Okay? Just put it out there in the situation, the things are going down, that kind of stuff. Okay? Because I'm telling you right now, the situation is everybody's making themselves responsible for everybody else instead of actually focusing on themselves. So they're not reading the reflections correctly. And even if they was, they're not taking the time to actually let those reflections resonate with them so they can actually change their own lives and realize that's how reflections work. You look in the mirror. We all have mirrors. It's always called our significant other, family, friends, everything. So it's the idea of learning how to read those. Okay? So if you're in the chat room and you want to ask a couple questions, feel free to do so. If you want to get a reading, I suggest that you call in. Okay? So let's click on, let's go check some things out here and that kind of stuff. But like I said, you guys, just listen to the idea, all the things we talk about on the show. I guarantee it'll make a big difference in your life. I've worked with these CDs, HemiSync and BrainSync for a long time, and actually I've had a little situation I've worked with relationships, with changing my own perception because of what I've been through and the idea of forgiving others and forgiving situations, and I guess even in the idea of finding out that I was actually making jokes about my ex-wife was actually an indication of I was still thinking I had to sit there and deal with it instead of letting it go, and that's the whole thing of the situation. So put that in mind, too, if you're doing the same thing. You just heard an information and also the situation also telling you the same thing. Let it go. You don't have to hang on to nothing. I think it's a freaking joke, to tell you the truth, that we have a tendency to be caught up in the whole freaking situation. I think if we hang on to stuff, then we won't repeat it, not realizing that all those situations in our past don't exist. They only exist as thoughts within our minds, and to realize it's just that simple, then we let go of those thoughts. Because in the process of letting go of those thoughts, there's change. And on the other side of change is your new life. Keep that one in mind, huh? Let's go to our first call here. It's area code 814. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi.
Am I asked who you
are? This is Amy.
Hi, this is Amy. You know, that name is plaguing me a lot lately. So how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Where are you calling from? Pennsylvania? Yeah, the reason I said about Amy is because I actually went to a store with my friend works, and her name is Amy. A couple of months ago, I was focusing on establishing a relationship with her. And it was kind of funny. My friend was saying, you got to be really detailed. And I always say you got to be really detailed, too. And I got very detailed. I said her first name, her last name. I said where she worked, the whole thing. And I was thinking, look at the situation, the universe. Was it making fun of me? Because after I did that, on the same freaking day, I heard from every Amy I ever knew. People I haven't heard from in months. And my friend goes, really? I said, yeah, except for one Amy. And that's the one I actually put the affirmation out about in the first place, or the intention. So I think sometimes we got to look at this. Well, I think we got to look at the situations and go, okay, why? Everything happens for a reason, and everything will happen in the process of manifestation when we focus entirely on our intentions and be very descriptive. So what's it telling me? You know, the situation drives me freaking nuts. And sometimes we don't want to realize that maybe the answer is that we will get exactly what we want and the kind of relationship we want and even the idea of that relationship, marriage, or whatever goes, but maybe it's just not that person. So it's basically portraying to me the possibilities that came in indicating that I haven't found her yet. Good try, you know. Sometimes people have a question about that too, and that I think about my soulmate, the twin flame, and why are they running away from me? And I said, why don't you stop chasing them? Maybe they're freaking out, thinking, okay. And they have a tendency to go in defense mode anyway. So by going into defense mode, they're not giving themselves time because they went right into defense. You can't really analyze the situation or even give yourself a chance to even see how it resonates with you when you go right into defense mode. The reason is because most people are actually refusing to see what we call the truth. So if they can't see the truth, if you keep yourself in a situation, everything they do afterwards, even the idea of hurting you, is your own fault because you already know. So with that said, Amy, when's your birthday? I'm sorry.
July 20th.
July,
do you want
20th?
The year?
Cancer. You're on the cuff between Cancer and Leo, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what year?
71.
Okay. And what's your question for us today?
Well, I had a job interview on Tuesday of this week, and I wanted to see if you see anything with me getting that job.
What kind of job is it?
It's working for a state veterans home.
I'm not one for giving bad news, but I just don't feel like the situation might happen. So how did you feel when he was in the job interview itself?
I thought everything went well.
I don't think it's anything you did wrong. I just feel like that it's just not going to play itself out. Try to get more perceptive on, but I just feel like there's something else coming in the next 2 weeks. That might actually be more on the idea of what you really want to do with yourself. So is this like working with the state or just a agency?
Yeah, I work for the state now. It would be going to a different agency.
So you're kind of done with the place where you're at now? And you just feel like you need a change of pace?
Yeah, I need to leave where I'm at. It's getting really bad where I'm at.
I'm just saying with the situation, I just feel like you should, like I said before, I don't think you're going to get it, but I wouldn't look at it as any kind of disappointment or anything you did wrong or anything like that. I just thought there's something else coming for you. See what this freaking car is. You just want to go, boom, push out of your misery. Let's see. Yeah, I feel like there's another opportunity coming for you in the next 2 weeks. About 2 weeks. That could actually put you in a situation where there's not so much stress. Okay? Hello?
Okay. Is it another state job? Because I'm really not looking outside of starting over.
Well, if every situation you look at is kind of starting over, I guess I can see the fear, but the idea of the situation is just another job. Your job is not your life. Your job is a part of it. And the idea of the perception and the way you're going could be working against you. Hold on for a second, guys. Oh, that sucks. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. What I need to do, guys, I need to be right back in a minute. I'm going to play some music. I'm going to actually take an agenda. I'm going to pull some cards on you. I just got to take a break for a minute. Okay?
Okay.
As soon as I get back, about 3 minutes, I'll pull 3 cards for you from my angel deck, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll be right back after the word from Kansas. A song called Child of Innocence.
Thank you.
back. It's tough to consider me. I'm your guest. I'm your guest. I guess I'm a guest in your home, right? I'm your host. And this is my show. This is the Extreme Man Spiritual Link. So if you just joined in, it's 8:25 p.m. Mountain Time here. It's April 4th. We're actually in the month of April. Isn't that kind of crazy? I think it's one of the situations that they would just march. So we got to look at the situation for what it is and that kind of stuff. We'll just put things where they are. If you want to get a call in here and you want to get a reading, please do so. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. For private readings, just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. All right, so let's get back to our caller here, Amy, who's calling us from Pennsylvania, has a situation. Well, I was trying to put it in the right words, and it's kind of funny. I went downstairs, had to pick up some food, but I ordered it before the show even started, so I just finally came. Anyway, with that situation, I've put that to the side. We're going to sit here and look at Amy here in the situation. It's the idea of looking at things and saying, you know something? Every time you change any kind of job, it's just a new beginning, not starting over. And each day when we get out of bed is a new beginning. So it's the idea of our perceptions have a tendency to keep us in boxes that we don't even realize. So I was saying to you earlier before we took the break was the idea that even if you did get a job outside of where you're working, sometimes we got to look at what it is. Maybe it's not a job. It's just an opportunity to get away from the stress and the chaos, which is what your intentions was put out to the universe. And the universe is just trying to give you what you want. So when things do not work out and they do not go the way we want to, we have to look at the situation and ask ourselves, are we really seeing the positive of the situation? Are we still focusing on the same thing, which is creating another environment, just in a different place, a location? So just because I sit there and say I didn't see it happening, doesn't mean I don't see the ideal of having a job. I think it's the ideal that you're really restricting yourself in the process of the changes you want. I've seen this see people do this many times with relationships. I want to meet my soulmate, my twin flame. I want to meet my significant other. But he has to have a long hair. He has to have a certain kind of income. He has to do. See, you just created all of these ways to not get your soulmate. You didn't even think about it. The world says this is what you got to do. In some sense, the world will always be the world, focusing on materialistic stuff. Go look at the situation. If you're all working your careers and jobs and that kind of stuff because of money, this is why you can't get ahead, because you put money to the forefront instead of yourself. So the solution you're looking for is within yourself, and the idea of the chaos that's being created somewhere within yourself has created the chaos within your work environment. So the first and foremost of the situation, you consider and look at the job itself. It was a great interview. Sometimes you don't get jobs because you have bad interviews. You have bad. You don't get jobs sometimes because people have already made decisions what they're going to do. So it's not your fault. But it is a sign for you to realize that maybe you should be really detailed about what you want and let the universe take care of that for you. Okay, Amy?
Okay.
Open yourself to all the possibilities, and you might see a solution that you never thought about before, but might be the best thing for you. All right? Okay?
Okay.
If you want to ask any more questions, you're more free to. We are on. I'm trying to think now. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you're more welcome to come back if we need any more clarification.
Okay.
But I just want you to sit there and focus on yourself and ask yourself, what do you really want, need, and desire? Not what the world keeps telling you. You don't need money. You don't need people. You don't need situations. When you put yourself in a situation where you don't need nothing, it's kind of funny how opportunities have a tendency to give you everything that is really in your best interest. Okay? And let us know. If you have any problems, just call us back on Sunday and we'll go over this again, okay? Alrighty?
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
You have a great week. Yeah, you have a great weekend, okay? Thank you. Okay. And everybody, give a nice round of applause. My friend, I think, is Terry. Welcome. How are you? This is Terry, right? Is there a delay or something? Hello? Hello?
Can you not hear me at all?
No.
Really?
I just heard you. I just heard you right then and there.
Well, I unplugged my headset. Sometimes I play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're supposed to. And sometimes it works. You know, it's just it's not a Wi-Fi one. But my
mm-hmm.
Wi-Fi for my Skype doesn't always work.
Yeah.
I got a new computer, so I have to learn how to work it.
It can drive you crazy, I'm telling you.
I know. I tried to send you my hands because I wanted you to show them how you could read hands,
mm-hmm.
the palms, palm reading.
Right.
I can't find them.
You can't find your hands?
I can't find my palm prints that I scanned.
Oh.
No, I know where my hands are, seriously.
I'm just saying where I sounded. How awesome.
Huh?
That's what you sounded when I heard it. It was like, I lost them.
I lost them. My hands. They're gone.
Mm.
But now I'm looking for them because I wanted you to show how you can read the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything you do is really good. And I'm gonna be as good as you. I'm gonna see dead people then.
Yeah, but I don't see dead people unless I go see my ex-wife. Anyway,
love you. No, I'm going. I want to. So there's a difference there.
Yeah, between what dead people and dead people.
Well, I've seen them. But I've also said, go away, don't come back. I'm not ready.
I'm just saying my perception is different than most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use the term dead people. I always do the term spirits.
They passed on. Spirits.
Yeah, because I said people go, you see the dead? And I said, no, I don't go to graveyards. I do go to graveyards, but not the particular reasons for.
Have you seen anything?
Well, when I lived in Winchester in Ohio, we used to go to the cemetery. And I always thought it was so freaking weird when I went to the cemetery. If we were there just as the sun was going down, it's kind of funny that I would see spirits. Like we would go to, how we go to the cemeteries to see our family.
Yes.
It seemed like spirits were showing up too to do the same. And I could actually see them.
Oh, cool.
Everywhere, coming and doing the thing, you know. I don't know if it's a gift or what, but I could actually, when I'm with people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I see, they can see. Which they couldn't see before when I wasn't there. I was like, must be some kind of conduit.
Yeah. I sent you my hands on Skype.
We had
not the real hands, you know.
Wandering spirits. What the hell?
But no, I think it was, I have seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've told them to leave. They scared me. But I know I'll see them again, and I'll be able to take their messages.
Mm-hmm. That was weird. Yeah, it's kind of crazy in some sense, the word. First time I started doing that kind of stuff, too, I was just like, I'm not sure if I like that or not. First time I connected to somebody, it sent me a message. I describe it as a tingling sensation in my spine. And then the guy started talking to me, trying to get his daughter to apologize to his wife for some things he had done while he was here. At first, it was kind of crazy because he was saying that. He was saying, he was sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought he might have died in a car accident. Actually, what happened was he was apologizing because him and his wife was in an accident. where he was drinking, and she got hurt. And she had never actually forgiven him for it.
Oh.
It wasn't like he had an accident. He didn't die in an accident, but they had an accident together, and that's why she was distant and went talk to him, because he was constantly connecting with her all the time. But she refused to listen to him, even after he passed.
Yeah. And he was saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, he just wanted to apologize to her.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Did you find me?
I'm trying.
I'm hiding.
I wasn't you.
I cannot get my headset to work on Skype. And I don't know why.
That sucks.
And I have one of those wireless ones that I can go wherever I want.
Only if it works.
Huh?
Only if it works.
Yeah, and since I got this new PC, you know, if it doesn't hook up, then I just can't go wherever I want. But,
yeah, it can drive you crazy.
Pardon me?
It can drive you crazy.
I think it's working now. I never hung up on you on Skype.
Okay. How come I have two copies of your hands? Are you there? I'm actually going here to our next caller, which is 661.
Hi, Donnie. It's Terry. I kind of stupidly hung up on you on the show.
Oh, okay. I was like...
Would you expect anything else?
Well, when I look at the 661, okay,
uh-huh.
Tell you the truth, how I feel, it freaks me out. Because I've had some girls pranking me, all kind of stuff, through Skype.
Oh, well, if you have a paid account, it comes up 661.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can grab that number and you can send it to people at Skype. Well, I don't know. But don't know who used that number or what term.
Mm-hmm.
Just an FYI. I have a paid account, but I don't pay for a number.
I was going to ask you that. You don't pay for a number, because I do.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I just pay that. I can I don't have a job. I can't. Well, I can't get funds to pay for Skype.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a necessity.
You're like, after you get clients to do it for you. Not a client actually pays for it. Well, it was an hour and a half reading, but instead of giving me money for an hour and a half reading, she actually bought me over 1,000 business cards, banners, postcards, magnets.
Oh, cool.
All kinds. Huh?
And I said, oh, cool. Very nice.
Yeah, she had the time to actually look into the whole thing. You get these great deals, where you get them package deals from the time, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the banners were actually free.
Mm-hmm.
Or a giveaway, we should say, right? No, I was looking at a deal. I was going to go to the next caller and do that reading real quick and then come back and read your hand.
That's fine. You're going to mute me, right? You're going to mute me?
You lost me. What?
Are you going to mute me?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't see any reason. I don't see any reason for muting you.
Well, I'm glad that I was mute. I wasn't picked up the last call because I say, no, don't take that call. Don't take that job. Don't take that job.
It was another physical manifestation of her perception, which put her in this job that she's in now.
Yeah, and just like when I put out there, I want a job. I didn't put down what I want to do. I didn't put down anything like that. I just kept saying, I want to work. I want a job. So I got a freaking job doing, you know. So you got to watch how you say, you know, you write that stuff out and say it. Because I asked for a job. I got a job. But yeah, go ahead and next call.
Okay, let's go to area code 562. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good question. So let's ask you first.
I'm good. I just have some questions because there's a concern in the office right now. My sister, she's a doctor, and she has a business partner. And the thing is, the husband of the business partner wants to manage, and in fact, he got the position even without unofficially. And and I think he's doing something. It's not just I think, but I know that he's doing something not really legal. And I'd like to know what you see for this office, whether is he gonna stay, is he gonna let go of his position as office manager, although he was not given that position, he just assumed it. What do you see that's gonna happen in this clinic?
I want to say he's going to leave.
I'm sorry?
I feel like he's going to leave.
He's going to just give it up?
Huh?
How do
you
see
that?
He's
going to give up? No, it's like the ideal situation. People leave for all kinds of reasons. I just feel like he's going to get to the point where he's going to be in a position where he feels like he's got enough... it comes off as financial compensation, he's going to leave.
Okay. Yeah,
what kind of person would you just... How would you describe this person from what you know?
He is one that would take advantage of his position. Like, it is a clinic, okay? And... The only one that could order lab work is the wife or the doctor, the provider. But then when I was checking on the bill of the lab, I saw about 20 people that are not patients of the office, probably his friends, and all the lab work that's done was on like gonorrhea or syphilis test. So what is that? So he's using the office for his own benefit or his friend's benefit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're thinking that he's going to be around for a while because he's taking advantage of people. I feel like he has an agenda.
He does. And because the thing is, my sister wanted me to be the office manager, but since he was already assuming it, I didn't want any trouble. So I was just there to protect my sister's interest. and mm-hmm. and check on the financials. But I didn't want to, I didn't want to, you know, to get involved in the operations because mm-hmm. he was doing that. And I don't want any trouble. I just want that my sister's investment is protected. But I also want that the office is running, you know, well.
Mm-hmm.
So my problem, he even doesn't want to give me the bills. The office bill. He doesn't want to give me that.
Now I was trying to focus on the situation so if he could actually put him in a position where he has to show those bills.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just looking at the situation, what you can do legally. And the idea of making him produce those, produce all the records and stuff.
Yeah, because I always check the bank account. I check the cash, you know, the cash that's being paid to the office, the disbursement. But I'm not sure whether he's doing something like, you know, hiding something, which I feel he is. And I just want to know when is this going to stop or is he going to say, okay, here it is. You know, these are the bills. Take care of this. I don't want to do anything with the office anymore. Am I going
mm-hmm.
to see that? Are we going to see that happen?
I feel like he's going to leave.
How?
I just don't see no warning. I just feel like he's going to just not. He's just going to disappear.
But he is the husband of. The partner of my sister's partner, and they live just close to the office.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is, okay, if he's going to leave, will he relinquish the position and give me, you know, all the files?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
When I look at the situation, right? I just don't think he will ever give you any kind of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the husband. Did you say he's the husband of the owner, the partner?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
I think it's amazing how people have a tendency to keep these things in concrete situations, so thinking people are just going to stick around forever because they're in a really good situation of taking advantage of people and they're going to rack that money in. He also knows, I mean, it's almost like the idea if you could do some research on the guy, I'm pretty sure that he has also other aspects he's done the same thing before.
Mm-hmm.
With that kind of indication, he knows that what he has going on is only a temporary situation. That pretty soon someone's going to walk in and you can do this too as well. And the ideal scaring those and that kind of stuff. And I feel like you can definitely get a court order to make him produce all those things. And when he doesn't produce it, because I just feel like he's never going to produce them.
Because, of course, we don't want those legal matters, you know. Like, we don't want court, something like that.
Well, you feel like there's some legal matters coming up in the future anyway. Now, the situation... Yeah, because what he's doing is he don't care.
Uh-huh.
He's not there for to help people out in situations. I don't know how he's getting the money, but I just feel like there's a ciphering things off very subtly.
Uh-huh. So he's not going to leave then? He's not going to...
He's going to...
relinquish his position?
Go ahead, Terry, say it.
He's going to take the money and he's putting the money in a bank account in his own name and he's going to leave and there's not going to be any money left.
Uh-huh. So when he leaves, is it going to be okay already? Like we can run the office?
What do you care?
I'm sorry?
What do you care if he's
there? Yes. I think what she's saying is the ideal. What kind of, he's going to be in a good position. You're thinking that he's going to run because he has the money. and he's already embezzled money. I get the impression mm-hmm. he's saving money, and then he's going to leave in a good state and leave and disappear. Whereas I feel like he's going to disappear because yeah. he's going to have plenty of money to do so.
Because he's earning a lot from his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's earning a lot
from
his job.
But a lot to you.
And the clinic is actually... Yeah. I'm sorry?
A lot to you and a lot to him is not the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then, but do you see him... Yeah, okay, you said that you see him, he's going to leave, right?
Yes.
But when is this going to be? Is it in a few months? In a few years?
I don't see years. I see months.
Okay.
But
it's going to be a thing. You already got
him. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
One of those guys who's funneling off money, okay? And
uh-huh.
And the way he's doing it, he's not really sure of when he's going to hit his goal, okay?
Okay.
So the idea of picking up on a time where he's going to leave, I get it could happen anytime in the next 6 months.
Okay. So I just have to be very strict, like when it comes to the money, I have to always audit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's what I'm doing. I always audit what I can audit, but if there's something that they're getting, like, that I don't know, then I don't have control over that.
He has control of all the income?
I'm sorry?
He has control of all income?
Yeah, he has a good income from Red Cross.
No. He has all income from your sister's business.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you need to step in and ask for, you know, sit with him and watch him. Because he's already scrooging out of so much.
Wow. Okay.
How long has he been there?
Well, since it opened, we opened in July of
2011.
Yeah. And he was the one who did the construction, which I know it wasn't like really 50,000, but he overcharged.
Mhm. Yeah, so like the idea of charging for services and stuff like that within the confines of your business too.
Yeah.
You set up this. What you do is you send off to get work and that kind of stuff, and then people are billed, okay?
Mhm.
And the situation, what happens is he tells you that he's charging a certain price for what he's doing to the customer.
Uh-huh.
But he tells the insurance company different.
Hmm.
People, when it comes to insurance, when people are covered medically, they don't care because they're covered. They usually don't look at those bills at all. They don't want to come back on them. So they're always like, okay. Or if they have a deductible, they pay the deductible. But no one seems to really, that I've ever talked to, question bills because they know, I mean, I've heard people say, I'm going to go to the hospital, it's going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars. So when they get these outrageous bills, they either say, I'm not paying it, or insurance will cover it, or I'll pay the deductible, I'm good. That's about as far as it goes. But see, he can charge anything he wants because the insurance company is going to reimburse you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they have a record here that says $34,000. When he's actually charged the insurance company $50,000, he keeps the difference.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He pays the bill off. So there's money still going into the business, but money going to his pocket. He set a goal for himself. Well, I keep getting it. He set a goal for himself when he hits that. I mean, that's, you know, he knows there's a matter of time. It's only a matter of time that someone's going to request something. Because that's what I was talking about before. I just feel like there's, Because realistically, the government and like your lawyers and stuff like that, they have, it's called disclosure. They have to tell you what's going on. And I think it covers everybody.
Okay.
And with these businesses, because who owns the business, really?
I'm sorry? Did you say
you said the business? You said that your business has been up and since 2011. Who actually owns it?
It's 51% my sister, because she's the doctor, and then 49% the wife, his wife, the physician assistant.
Okay. So these two are partners, and he's the husband of the wife who's a partner with your sister.
Yeah, it's not him at all.
Just because he's his wife is partner with your sister, doesn't make him less of anything. If you look at the situation, it really gives him good access, and no one questions him.
Right. Okay.
That's what I'm saying with the situation. But, okay, where's your sister?
She's here. She also has another clinic, but she also goes there.
No, I'm just saying with your sister being a partner, she has all the rights in the world to see all the records, and whatever he's not giving her, she can actually get a court order that he has to give them to her.
Okay.
She actually owns more of the business, where she can actually have him, I was going to say deported.
She has control.
Huh?
She has control. She just shouldn't question.
Let me ask you a question. Is your sister really nice, where she doesn't like to push the issue here?
My sister is nice, but she also doesn't want, like, arguments or something like that.
Well, you got to tell your sister like this. In the process of life in itself, when you don't sit here and want to get into the confrontations, what you're doing is you're not setting boundaries and making people respect those boundaries, right? And this situation here is money. And the idea of people have made an agreement. The man's taking advantage of it. And when you look at the situation, I kind of question his wife, too, as well, how much she really knows in the situation here, too. And your sister is putting herself in the dark because she doesn't like confrontation. But the reason she doesn't like confrontation, because it seemed like in the past when she's had these confrontations, she's always lost. So then she takes herself out of the question, that don't happen anymore. Now realizing here in the future, she actually owns a business where she has all the right in the world to say and do what she wants, and she has to be stern. It's not the idea of confrontation. It's the idea of looking at a situation going, okay, I want all the paperwork. I want all anything and everything, files, whatever it is. She needs to go in the situation, look at this guy and go, this is what I want it now. No confrontation. Be direct. And if he wants to argue, you walk away. You say, okay, I told you. I want all the records. I want it now. Either give them up or I'll go other avenues, but I'm not going to sit and argue with you. It's my right. I own 51% of the business. You're just a freaking employee. Just because you're married to my partner doesn't give you any more. Doesn't give you shit on anything and everything. He is an employee, and he's taking advantage of the position. He had the right to take that position in the first place. But see, if everybody's sitting around going, you know something? If she's not going to say or do anything else and reinforce those boundaries, he's going to continue to keep taking advantage of her and the people that she has in her care, too, as well. So the reason she needs to do this is because people are getting ripped off, and she is, too.
Okay. Yeah,
that's why it's so crucially important for her to sit there and say something. See, confrontations like this, she comes from family and all kind of stuff. Well, we think we have to argue with people. No, we don't. I've had people come to me and want to work in my shop, okay, for example. They come to my shop, they say, you should give me a key to work in here. No. Okay? They back off. Sure, they're persistent, but they have a tendency to go off and be more tactful. In the same situation, so am I. Okay, I sit there and look at the situation and go, this is the way it works. This is my business. This is what I do. I don't have to do anything. I understand you want to work here. And then they started using the tactic and saying, you're losing a lot of business. There was people here waiting this morning. I said, I didn't see it, so I didn't miss anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's the idea of looking at situations for what they are. But if she continues to let this thing go on and on and on, then she's the problem. And she's still allowing him to do what he's doing in the process of ripping people off.
Okay.
If a guy doesn't give up files and bill and any kind of information that you're asking for, being an employee, being a person who's occupying a position, which is a job, then he is actually, he might have a position and that kind of stuff, but your sister has 51%.
Okay.
All she has to go in there and say, dude, you're out of here. But she's allowing it because she doesn't like confrontation. So she thinks she's in the right, or she doesn't want to be in a situation being wrong. It doesn't matter if she's right or wrong. The guy has refused to do something that he was asked to do. And as an employee, in any other situation, he would have been fired. So the situation goes like this. You just got to tell her she's got to be stern, get a backbone. She owns a business. She has all the rights in the world. Go find out. Why don't you do it yourself? Go find out all her rights to help her understand that she has 51%.
Yeah.
And not to use that 51% in the process of a person who's taking advantage of people, she needs some fears. She needs to face some fears of her own.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but send her to me. I'll do some therapy with her.
Yeah.
It's like, snap out of this.
So is that why you see that he will be leaving? That he's going
to
leave?
It's like this, sweetie. Listen to me. You're like a person who's talking about a relationship. Is a guy coming back? And you're asking if a guy's going to leave. You guys sit here and look at the situation, like Terry said. Realistically, who cares? It's the idea of looking at the situation of rights are being violated here. You know, if that's the case, in the situation of this guy taking a position and taking it upon himself to do so because he's married to the wife, he's married to this woman who happens to be a partner, but she only has 49%. Your sister has 51%, and you're her sister. You're actually family. Okay?
Yeah.
So therefore, it's like the idea of looking at the situation, walking into an office, and forget the confrontation thing. This man's not doing his job.
No.
So therefore, she has all the grounds she needs to actually have him dismissed from the situation and the position and give it to you.
Okay.
So it's not the idea of he's going to leave. It's the idea of the rights you have and the process of forcing him out of a position he didn't deserve in the first place and he's not qualified for.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so what you do is you have to take it to one step further. You know, the situation is you make your decision. You don't have to sit there and go through courts and that kind of stuff. She owns 51%. You have to prove it. She has paper to back it up. So when she makes a decision and forces him out of his position and gives it to you, if it comes back on you, she has all the paperwork right there. It says, I own 51%. She only owns 49%. He's an employee. He has no percentage in it. Just because he's married to her, he has no right to that freaking business.
Right.
His name is not on anything.
Uh-huh.
So to sit here and assume that she's allowing him with his assumptions to get away with stuff when she knows better, but she doesn't want to have the thing with confrontation. She needs to face her fears and realize this is an opportunity to do so in the process of realizing what kind of power she does have and use it. I do feel like he's going to leave, but I just feel like he needs to be out of there quicker.
Okay. I'll show them the the pieces of evidence that I see that he's not doing right. I'll give it to my sister so that she can, you know, speak with a partner, and I am sure that his wife doesn't know that he is ordering lab work like gonorrhea or syphilis test for his friends.
Why would you order a workup on gonorrhea?
So it's his friends. Yeah. It's like 20 people.
Yeah, but usually gonorrhea is pretty much self, you know, there it is. Why do you need to get medical work and workup on her to say, okay, let's make sure it is what it is in the process of knocking out freaking bills?
Right. And I'm sure that the wife doesn't know that he is doing that. She will be surprised when I give her the name.
Oh, yeah, do it. I'm just saying with the situation, it's just, we really have to sit here and look at the situation. I mean, I'm sorry, but you have a person here. You really really need to look at the situation. Okay? Because, I mean, to have that kind of leverage of owning more of that business than your partner does, I'm pretty sure it was set that way for a reason.
Well, what do you think will be the reaction of the wife when she learns that there are tests being ordered without her ordering it, but the husband?
Are they doing the test for real?
I'm sorry?
Are they actually doing the test?
Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Are they actually doing tests on them?
Are they actual?
Doing the test. Or are they just billing, saying they did the test?
No, it's actual. I believe it is actual because it's not about race or something, but the husband is Hispanic, and I guess his friends are very much into, you know, those things.
What's that?
That's why, yeah.
They're pretty much into expression in the process of having bad outcomes. Talking about a lack of communication, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, she has been proven that bad marriages, right, that almost 85% of their relationship is sex. But in great relationships, it's only 25%. So here we have a prime example of people who just can't get it right with the communication part. So they find other ways to communicate, which is actually showing them as a physical manifestation that they need to talk to each other. Or maybe they're just like, you know, the guy doesn't want to talk to his wife, so he goes out and nails a prostitute and brings something home. But it definitely still shows a lack of communication because the guy is going for gratification outside the marriage instead of talking to his wife and solving the problem.
Or maybe it's different name. It is his friend.
It's different?
Yeah.
As in what?
I know they are his friends, but he just wants to, you know, he just...
So they're his friends, and they have these implications where he has to cover it up for them, you think?
Well, he's got a lot of friends who, of course, are very liberal. So when they have, you know, sex somewhere, they would do like a test to make sure that they did get that disease or something.
I don't think they would just have tests for no reason, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's saying they're testing people. They're testing people before they have sex with them.
So,
I would be careful.
I guess they were saying they're using a clinic for testing for his friends, so they won't have to go to a, you know, hospital
and pay more.
Yeah, so that they pay more or they don't pay at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So with that, at least I know that if he's living within the year, then it's good. But if it's sooner, then it's better.
Well, I get copies of all records that I could, and I'd watch everything he does. Do you work there?
Yeah, I do go there twice a week.
I go more. Hang out, watch him.
Okay. The thing is, I go there just to help, and since 2011, I haven't been paid at all because the clinic is really not doing well yet. So it's a sacrifice that I have to do for my sister. Although I do put my time in and out, but I haven't been paid since it opened.
That's what? That's almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of money by now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to figure out the situation and how he's making money. If he's not charging his buddies or charging whatever.
I feel he's getting money.
That's why what I do is I do health insurance at this time. I do health insurance mm-hmm. and I do healthcare consulting. So that's where I get my money. But as to like 2 or 3 days in the office, I don't get anything at all for now. That's why if there are days that I have to do consulting, I absent myself because I mm-hmm. need to work for myself also.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you look at the situation, if you're taking care of all your buddies and stuff, and the idea of actual clients that you can actually come in and can actually pay for the services, they're actually, the process of what he's doing, is there room for that?
Mm-hmm.
For real legitimate, you know, customer, well, what you call it, patients, I guess?
So what do you see for me in this healthcare business, in the health insurance? Because what I do is I enroll the senior patients to a health plan, and it is something in California that is going to be something big because it is a project of the government. And I'm helping my sister. And there are also a few doctors that would want me to enroll for them. And I want to know if there are going to be changes. Because, you know, sometimes they say that, okay, I'm going to get you to enroll my patients. And then one day they're going to say, oh, no, I've got another person to do that already.
Hmm.
So do you think that these doctors will stick to the agreement that I will be enrolling their patients?
I say yes.
Okay, that's good. Let me ask you
a question real quick.
Sure.
With the situation, with the way things are playing out, right?
Sorry?
Let me ask you a question. Can he actually use his position to charge insurance companies with bills of people who don't exist?
No, because we have a third party that does the billing, and the other one that does the billing is my sister's office. So he doesn't have access to billing insurance.
Okay, so therefore if he's making money off of friends who come to him with sexual issues, who don't want to go to public hospitals and stuff like it because they pay more, and then they pay him cash, which he doesn't have to report. He's on the table, so he makes money. And the reason he can actually stack up so much freaking money so quickly is because it doesn't take that much. I mean, I do readings for people, and we have a special going on where it's like $1 a minute. And you'd be amazed how much that actually adds up really quickly.
Oh, really?
But the thing with him is if he's taking money from his buddies, it doesn't matter how much he takes, he still takes it for himself. He can put down reports and that kind of stuff and cover himself up. I just feel like there are some people that are coming to him that you guys don't know nothing about.
Mm.
Tests are being performed. It's one of those complex things where you definitely see the guy making money somewhere. He's embezzling or something.
Yeah. Now it even dawned on me that he might be ordering like those medicines from the pharmacy and using the clinic as the one ordering, and he sells it outside, and it's going to be, and he pays for it, and of course, whatever the profit is his. You know, like those medicines that are sold in the black market.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he's doing that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, the implication of insurance companies and getting medication, I mean, I've seen people walk in with certain medical cards. They don't get, I mean... If you have, say you have a friend of yours, right, comes to your clinic, okay, you help him out. He has gonorrhea or something like that, okay? And you work out an agreement with him that when he gets his prescription, which if he's on welfare or something like that, you can get prescriptions for nothing. But if he traded out services, you're right. He could take his medication, what he doesn't use, which most people don't use at all anyway, give it to him, and he could sell those things pill by pill. But the bottle didn't cost him anything, and it's all profit.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Now it dawned on me that he can do that. because there are a lot of medications that are controlled. And, he can sell. Yeah, he can, including like, Viagra or Cialis or those, or what's it, Ativan, something like that, right? Those medicines, he can order them because he's just going to say, oh, I am this. I'm the office manager of this clinic, and I'd like to order this for the clinic.
But you got some people have medical plans where they never pay more than $5 for their prescriptions, no matter what it is.
Right. Oh, my goodness. I know he can do that. Yeah, he can do that. Because when I was office manager of my sister's other clinic, I used to order from the pharmacy the medicines, antibiotics, for the clinic.
Yeah.
And so he does that, but then he keeps it and he sells it.
Yeah, because most people, when, like, I have a business, right, and what I do is I buy candles, and then I resell them, but the candles are mine. So he can do the same thing, like, say, using the clinic and everything else, do what he wants to do, using that title, you know, getting leeway in the whole thing. Maybe even the idea of making so much freaking money, he's got kickbacks on things for certain pharmacies to give him what he needs. Because people, you walk up to somebody and say, I'll give you an extra, you know, $1,000 a month just to slide me a couple pills here and there. You'd be amazed how people go, no problem.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he can do that. I know he can. Ay, ay, ay. It opened my eyes.
There you go.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm so naive, or sometimes maybe I know he can do that, but then I don't want to bother myself with the stuff that he's doing, because I'm more concerned of how to get income for the company through the health plans, through what we do legally at work. Yeah, and of course I'm concerned about my own income from other sources like the health insurance. Oh my goodness. I'm glad I called, and I really thank you so much for the input.
Oh, no problem. Lately I've been doing a lot of mystery solving anyway, so
thank you so much. And I'm glad that you said that the doctors that said that that told me that I will enroll their patients will stick to their commitment. Yeah.
No, this is a whole lot different case what I've been dealing with. I had one lady who I think she was actually having an affair for 14 years with a guy who was a serial killer, who I think he still has potential in certain situations and stuff like that. So it's like almost one of those mysteries of the week. So this one here seemed to be a lot more simpler because I saw some things a lot of things they could be doing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
You have a great weekend, okay?
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. I think. All right, let's go to area code 203. I'm actually sitting over the whole thing. Hello, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
How am I doing? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm the psychic. I'm sorry. Anyway, so what's your name?
Shante.
Your name is what? Shante?
Yes.
And where are you calling from? 203, where's that at? Florida?
Connecticut.
Oh, well, I was like, well, I'm on the wrong side. So you live in Connecticut. Where are you living in Connecticut at?
Bridgeport.
Fishport?
Bridgeport.
Okay. I got, for some reason, I got Harper stuck in my head.
Oh.
Which is kind of funny because they call it the intern's capital of the country.
Yeah.
I think everybody sells insurance in Connecticut, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, when's your birthday? Where are you calling from? I mean, I forgot the call thing. What did you say? Sorry.
12-18-88.
So, you're December 18th, where you're actually between, I mean, Sagittarius and Capricorn.
Yeah.
So which one you class? Wow, which one do you embrace the most?
I'm not really sure. I feel like a Sagittarius sometimes, but not 100% Sagittarius.
Okay, I feel like you're really more grounded, so it seems like it's more aligned with Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the idea of looking and say, well, some days I'm a Capricorn and some days I'm flighty. Sagittarius. Okay. How can we help you today?
Well, I wanted to know about this guy, and I wanted to know how far could it go.
You want to know how this guy feels?
Yes.
And you want to know how far this can go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing that drives me crazy with some questions like that is the idea of helping people understand that if they are manifesting everything in their lives, that means everything. Longevity in relationships, the idea of manifesting someone in your life. Do you think we can actually manifest somebody in our lives that would actually hate us?
Yeah, I do think that.
And why would you do that? Because you probably hate yourself.
Yeah.
So if you look at the situation and say, well, I don't hate myself, then you have to look at the situation of how you feel that you've manifested this other person and how he feels. Okay, the confusion part kicks in when you start looking at people's actions. Because a lot of times your actions don't go along with how they really feel. That's what we call denial. So what's this guy you're talking about, what's his name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a respectable man, but for some reason I feel like he's really flighty. When's
his
birthday?
6-3-88.
Okay, 6. What is 6? June, right?
June. Yeah.
Okay, so it's June.
Sir.
A truck went by who needs to get a freaking ass bumper and a freaking muffler. Okay, so it's June what now?
June 3rd.
Okay, June 3rd.
1988.
Okay, he's a Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's an. I think male Geminis are worse than females. Gemini. Indecisive, always going in two different directions, trying to hang on to single life at the same time he wants to be in a relationship. I can see the confusion here and the ideal situation. But you also, I see a person, as in you, who's also compromising just a little bit in the ideal of a person. And the reason I say that is because you're asking how he feels. So I get the impression that by what he does and says and how he feels will give you input on what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a step back and say you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to make a decision on what you want to do. And the idea of trusting how you feel, which is you feel like there's a connection between the two of you.
Yes.
Okay, but you need to trust that connection because you can't have a connection. It's like a power line. If it's only connected on one side, you have no connection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you have a connection, like the power line, once you have a connection, you have energy going through it, electricity as we call it. It's the same thing here. It's the idea of listening to oneself, asking yourself, okay, I feel like he does care about me. At the same time, you're asking for confirmation. I get the impression you've asked him.
It just goes with the flighty thing.
Okay, good. We look at the situation, ask the guy, okay, hey, man, how you feel about me? I don't know. Get the fuck out. I'm not dealing with any more people like you. You see how that? You just took the initiative and said, you know something? If you want to sit here and play the confusion game, then go play it with somebody else. Because you sit here and you said, I mean, I can almost hear this guy saying, I don't play games. He just did.
Mm-hmm.
He refused. He refused to sit there and go, it's almost like a guy playing tennis and he takes your ball and he refuses to serve it back to you. He's playing games with you. He's teasing you. He's taunting you. Okay, maybe I do feel the same way you do, but I'm going to play games with it a little longer. Just to make this guy a bad person? Oh, yeah. Because he's playing the game, because he knows what's going on. He knows how you feel. When you sort of look at the situation, I feel like there's a lot of confusion here because you feel like he does, but you're second-guessing yourself, and you should be second-guessing yourself. You should read it for what it is. He does feel the same way as you do. I feel it very strongly. And so do you. That's why you're confused, because he's not acting accordingly. He's not saying certain things to you that would confirm that for you. Correct?
Yes.
So what you need to do is look at the situation, okay? Because like I told this one guy one time, he says, my wife keeps nagging me. I said, dude, if you'd answer her questions, she'd stop nagging you.
Yeah.
But you keep saying, I don't know what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you should think about it instead of getting on her ass and realize you're causing the chaos. She's asking questions, and you're refusing to answer. So who's really being the crazy person here? It's the person who refuses to give the information. I think it's the weirdest situation in this freaking ass country and the ideal people and relationships right now. The one people we should be communicating with and telling everything to is the one person we don't. We use the excuse by saying, I tell my best friend anything. Well, goody for you. Okay, I've worked with a lot of women for over the years. The very first thing I've seen on people's list is, especially women, at the top of their list is they want to find a best friend as a part of their equation of having a great relationship. But now they're actually being, instead of facing their fears and doing what they really want to do and going after when they have an opportunity to go out with the person they really want to go out with, they have a tendency to build these friendships and refuse to go any further because they don't want to lose their friendship. They don't want to lose their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you look at the situation and go, okay, what am I going to do? You do what you want to do. You don't make decisions because of what he's going to do or not going to do. You're not insensitive. That doesn't mean you are an uncaring person because you make a choice of what's best for you. Because if you look at the guy who's refusing to give you information, that's exactly what he's doing. He's making decisions according to what's best for him. Listen to him when they talk. I don't know how I feel. Okay, he's protecting himself. So he made a conscious decision not to disclose that information to you because he's protecting himself. So he's making a decision of what's best for him. Look at the reflection of what he reflects back at you about yourself. What you should be doing is the exact same thing. But he's also portraying you as a victim. I don't know what I want. So you fall into the trap and say, okay, take as much time as you want. And then you sit and wait. Okay? You stop living your life. You've kind of like taken your attention off of the things that you should be focusing on. When realistically, in order to see this situation for what it is to live your life. Because as soon as you start living your life and start focusing on your wants, needs, and desires and your goals, he's going to sit there and notice that you're not paying attention to him anymore. And he's going to come back and he's going to cut. Almost like you get an impression of a person coming back is going to give you a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it. And you have to determine if it's bullshit or the truth. But if you're not listening to yourself and listening to that connection that you have between the two of you and listening to how you feel, you're going to miss it. Okay? You look at a situation almost like I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, but there seems to be a fine line of desperation of really wanting to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it means you're making decisions into fear. That if you don't do something, or if you don't know how he feels, or what he's into, or how he feels about you, you're feeling, if you don't have those answers, that there's a fear there, that you need to get those answers to make a positive decision. When you should look at the situation until he actually tells you anything, that's when you should look at the situation and say, that's my responsibility. I have to listen to him. But if he's not going to tell you anything, then I go back to what Terry said earlier about that one person situation with that guy. Who cares? You don't have to sit there and do those kind of things. It's like asking yourself real quick, okay, sweetie, do you want to be a girlfriend or do you want to be a therapist?
Can you say that again? I couldn't really hear.
I said, do you want to be a therapist or do you want to be a girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Okay, the first time he says, I don't know what I want. And you sit here and say, okay, you just became a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to distance himself. He's going to show up at your house from time to time. He's going to sit on your couch wanting you to fix him. Do you want to fix him?
No.
Because it's not your job. Because I can sit here and look at you and say, I'm looking for somebody who will love me as much as I love them. Well, you have to be on the same page. And the first time a guy sits here and looks at you and says, I don't know what I want, you're not on the same page. You walk away, look at the guy. I'm serious. People get crazy when I sit here and say, look at the guy in his face and say, we're done. Because I do know what I want. And I looked at my list this morning, and I also noticed I put on my list, the guy I would be with would also know too. And you don't. So when you want to figure it out, or you know what you want, then call me up. Until then, don't bother. You got some deeper issues, and I'm just not going to deal with them. You know something? And you don't have to. Don't look at your friends. Well, go look at your friends and say, okay, look at this freaking crazy relationship they have. Do you want one of those? I hope you say no. Okay? It's the ideal. Won't you be the example instead of following them? Because they don't know what they're doing. You know, you have some friends of yours, I can sense it, where you have some friends that are actually making decisions that they're scared if they don't do certain things, they won't have a relationship. Realistically, they don't have a relationship with themselves. That's why they have that fear, okay? You seem to be a whole lot stronger than that. All right?
Okay.
So tap into your strength and say, you know something? I want to have a strong relationship because you're a strong person. When a guy says he doesn't know what he wants or he's indecisive, being indecisive means he doesn't know. He's playing the part, I don't know what I want. And I've been there too. We always have a bad mistake of sitting there going, just be sensitive and be understanding. Not realizing that first and foremost, we have to have a relationship before we're actually required to do that. Okay? Because we have no right to put ourselves in situations that if these people are indecisive, they're going to end up hurting you. So don't put yourself in harm's way, okay?
Okay.
Just let it resonate with you for a while, okay? If you want to get a private reading, give me a call. If you want to come back on the show, then give it about a week or so before you do, okay?
Okay, thank you.
But if you want to call me for a reading, no problem. I'll give you as much time as you want. I don't care how much money you got. If you got a good way of paying a fee, then just bring whatever you got. Because this is a situation, I look at people all the time and say, you know something, if you get compensated something, just gives the idea of the work, it shows it's got worth. But it also shows to you, by me sitting there taking the initiative, you know, the thing that the effort I'm going to put into this whole thing also gives you the same ability to do the same thing for yourself. You have worth. And somebody right now is treating you that, in some sense of way, he's treating you like you don't have any worth, and you have to sit and wait around for him forever until he figures it out, and you don't have to. I don't know if I can emphasize on that so much. I just don't want you to sit there and go and wait for somebody who just needs to get his head out of his ass.
Okay.
You can sit there. I'm saying you can sit there if you want to until he does get his head out of his ass and hand him the towel so he can wipe his face off so he can see the truth. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. For some reason, I feel like if you don't walk away from this situation as soon as possible, you're going to be sitting out in a nursing home waiting for this dude. Okay?
Okay.
I was trying to say, I feel like someone's going to be coming in your life in June that's going to make you think that, in some sense of the word, it might have been a waste of time because the relationship you're going to have with that person about around the 25th could be a whole lot different and a whole lot real, okay? So you give us a call back and you tell us all about it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
So you think I was a little too intense?
No. I think that's what she needed.
It's one of those situations, you know? No, I can hear you. It's just drives me crazy with the situation of asking questions. Because when you're asking questions, you really question your own worth, that you don't feel like you're worth having someone in your life. And that is not the case here in the situation. Yeah, she's a very strong woman. She needs to realize that before she knocks her down and really starts believing the illusion that she's a weak person. But she's not.
Yeah.
We have some other colors in the queue, so hey, let's get to them. I'm trying to. I was trying to check out the chat room. Got a lot of chatting going on, but not much.
That's me.
I know. Thank you. I'm trying to figure out who was my cue heart.
Oh, my friend.
Oh, so she was talking to you. I was kind of going, I have no idea who this is. Asking me about something I'll be over noon.
Oh, I want to do a hangout.
You want to do
a
hangout?
On Google Plus? Are you on Google Plus?
Am I on Google what?
Plus.
Google
Circle,
Plus?
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Google Circle?
I'm on whatever. We go to Google Plus and you have these circles and you can do a lot where you're seeing and talking to people.
Oh, okay. I'll try to do
and
something
we did
about
that.
On that.
We did that a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
With Astrid. Did you miss the call? We did one with Astrid a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
And I just want to play around. You know, play with our cards and stuff. So, did you lose a call?
I think so, yeah. That's kind of funny how you said
that. What's my hand say?
What is your hand
what
say?
Were you
I didn't hear a thing.
Yeah, did you get my did you get my hand? Did they say death tomorrow?
I'm sorry, I got my mind on other things. When it comes to relationships,
I know, I have
so
a short life.
When people say certain things, I'm sitting going, hands? I wish I had some hands on me. Anyway, but no, I was looking at your hands and I was kind of noticing the idea of your hands. I have a lot of freaking lines in the process. Okay, the top line here, right underneath your pinky, that's your heart line. Okay, the other line coming across from the other side, across there, which is usually half time, well, yours is anyway, it's attached to your lifeline. Which actually indicates great spiritual and psychic abilities because they're intertwined with each other, which means you actually are listening to yourself, interpreting your abilities from what you hear from your guidance, which is actually making a very positive effect on your lifeline, which is very long. You also have a very strong destiny line going down the middle, and it seems like you right now have a tendency to keep it. You want to keep your life and your destiny separate so you can actually have a real life. You can see the lines coming out to the points with your fingers, your pointing finger, your middle finger, and your ring finger on most people, and your pinky. Pinky is the mercury finger, which is the finger of communication. The ring finger is actually the finger of, it's the sun finger. It's physical expression to our faces and our bodies. And then we have the next one over, which is the middle finger, which is Saturn, which is the finger of success. And then the next one was...
Which hand are you doing?
I'm just giving you an insight on the whole thing. Because when I look at the hands and the thumbs, that looks like your left hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then that one front finger right there, the pointy finger, that's your Jupiter hand. And if you go straight down to the Jupiter finger, right there between the line, your head line, and the base of your Jupiter finger, the lines indicate how many abilities you have. It also indicates that from activity, usually right in there called the mound of Jupiter, actually gives us indications that you have abilities. They're
what abilities do
available.
I have? Huh?
You have a lot of abilities. You're empathic. You're clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, even claircognizant because you're always coming up with good ideals and you're inspired by those ideals as guidance. Okay? You have a lot of other ones. I think if you really worked on it, you could actually touch things, too, as well, if you get information from them. You have a very bad temper.
Yeah.
And then you have a situation where...
I shouldn't have said that, huh?
Right, on your thumb, yeah. on your thumb and the middle part there. The tip of your thumb is your will. The middle is your wisdom. And then that part underneath your thumb, that little mound right there, that's the Mount of Venus. With the Mount of Venus, it says that you've had a lot of relationships and some of them have been fractions of the idea of developing your insight and how you perceive love. But you've had some painful situations too as well. But it also indicates with the idea of interference with family, certain situations earlier in your life have actually had some impact on the latter part of your life, where you seem like you've attracted men into your life who want to be a father figure to you. Let's see.
Yes.
Right. Not and also, point. if you look at your wrist, you'll see that there's a really strong line under right at the base of your wrist going into your hand. That just shows that you really need to focus on what you really love and your creative part of yourself will root you right into always being abundant and prosperous. If you listen to the world, then you always have a tendency to have nothing or the idea of struggling and lack of limitation. So it shows that you have great success. It's just the idea of embracing it. Then you have two other lines where it shows that you've actually lost your hand in a couple past lives.
Oh, wow.
It seems like you've lost your right hand a lot more than you've lost your left.
I'm left-handed.
I'm just saying with your left hand, it shows two accidents, but it definitely shows one, almost like a religious infraction, where someone took your hand because of your beliefs to prove a point that you should listen to them. Okay, on your right hand, there's almost indications where you're working on other past lives too, where you want to let go of those because they're causing problems in this lifetime where you felt so limited in the past that you're actually putting yourself in situations too here that would put you in a situation of lack of limitation. Get the idea of letting go of those past lives and seeing it changing your perception, which I think you are. So I guess we can read palms tonight.
Yeah, and that is so freaking cool. And you see, I have like a lot of abilities then. I just need to enhance them.
Yeah, because on the way you got your hands pressed up against the glass on this thing here, you can see all the gifts and all that kind of stuff. But I think there's other ones too. You have a temperance that can be actually based on your father being very intense, going back about five generations. But I also feel like you have your mom's temper too, which has a tendency to actually weigh the scales, which will, like for example, your mom can have a little bit of chip in there that actually interferes with your temper, where some days where they just hit a button, you go off.
Yeah.
There's other days she can be tipping the scale the other way with the influence she's had on you, where you'll find a sense of comfort and calmness, where you won't let your temper get out of control.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. And I'm just like, wow, I'm going to have to replay this because it's so freaking cool. But there's no money line, Donnie.
Yeah, but see, the front of money line, if you look at the situation of success and the destiny line, I've always seen, when I look at palms, your destiny line and the idea of money always roots you into the part there at your wrist, which indicates rooting yourself in abundance and prosperity. So therefore, the idea of money itself is just another tool that you're able to attract very easily. You just have to change your perception of what you've been taught.
Oh, I know. If I want it bad enough, I can get it.
Well,
I'm on a TV show right now.
You can look at your palm here, too. You're scared.
Huh? I'm scared?
Yeah, because if you came very successful, I get the impression that the person you're with would be very insecure about it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have an ex-husband?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Do you have an ex-husband?
No. Why?
You must have, I'm just trying to figure it out. If you have an ex or something right there between your heart and your head, which I've always found exes in very powerful relationships that could have been, from appearances, could have been definitely like a relationship that ended like a divorce. Because, just think about relationships, okay? You know, I hate to say this, but the government doesn't determine a real relationship or not. It's just that is a piece of paper that declares that you're legal.
Yeah.
Sure, like you're entitled. But realistically, in relationships, why don't we sit here and take the freaking government out of the whole thing and realize what you guys can do in the process of really embracing a great relationship, that you can manifest anything, and the government had nothing to do with it. So the idea of making marriage legal the way they have, it's just a money game.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's caused a ripple on the freaking things of people who don't want to embrace how they really feel, to look at the situation and go, it's just a piece of paper, when it's not. Relationships are what you make them. And if you don't make them, they don't become anything. So if you want to sit there and look, I mean, I'm just saying, by you being yourself completely, who you are, will actually contribute to your relationship becoming more than pretending to be somebody you're not. And that's why relationships are having a hard time, the idea of surviving and going forward. Plus, one, people want to focus on the damn freaking chemical. Chemistry is not what you're looking for. And if you are looking for chemistry, then you've fallen into the world away again, which what's going to happen there is a doomed outcome.
I'm not looking for chemistry.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. I'm sorry. I got some callers, and I just want to get them done because I actually want to get off
here.
That's
fine. You want to get to them, yes. I appreciate you doing
the show. Take a nap. Very cool. I mean, just imagine what I just did with a poverty with you on the air, and imagine what I can do in person.
And can you imagine if I was there in person, what you could read?
Yeah, because I would pick up everything because it would be no kind of shadowing to the situation. But even the shadowing is the idea of focusing on one's aura and cleansings too as well within yours. You know, go more intense. Do some really, really intense getting to the core of your chakras, your aura. Because you can see that with the shading on the, when you had your hands on the glass when you took the picture. That's actually an indication of certain darkness within your aura that you need to cleanse out because of what you've been through. And some of the things you've been through. Yeah, all that craziness. Because, you know, it's like, look at the situation, ask yourself anymore. Anybody wants to know anything about you, or she wants the people to say things about you, it's the idea of cleansing your aura, cleansing yourself, looking at the situation and telling yourself, you know something? I knew who I am. So I don't need to reinforce it by what someone else is saying, because in some sense the word, it's a negative thing because you're actually feeding into it because you're repeating it, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of us have a tendency to get caught up in the whole thing of thinking we're doing something good because we're telling somebody else. When everything I've ever learned in manifestation and what you really want the outcome to be is the idea that you don't tell anybody else, you don't talk to other people about situations or anything people talk about, because realistically what they're doing is they're portraying to you of how insecure they are with themselves, that they have to denounce another one to make themselves feel good. So it helps you make you feel better in a situation that it's just a confirmation that you're in a good place and people find you threatening. Finding threatening means you're in a good place in your life and you're strong. Let's see.
They do think I'm threatening.
Yeah, so on that, I was going to say, on that good one, let's bring on 501. Area code 501. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Are you there?
And what's your name?
My name's Lisa. I'm calling from Little Rock. And I've enjoyed listening to your show. This is my first time calling. And I know you're tired and ready to go. But I have a quick question that's probably a typical kind of question. I'm pretty much stuck in my life, you know. I've been in this situation before where I'm stuck, but I feel like I have all this power, but I can't use it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense in the situation, because I've been there myself, and it's just that you have to realize you have power within yourself, and a lot of times the reason we don't use it is because of religious influence and family.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
No, that's what I'm saying. You have a lot of power. You are a very powerful woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea to look at the situation around you.
All right.
What is the situation that's bugging you the most?
Well, I'm a massage therapist, you know, and I help a lot of people, and I know a lot of things, but I just can't seem to apply them in my own life, and I'm just, you know, I think I fear. Well, I think I don't I guess I'm not very confident in myself, but in the same breath, I know I can do anything, you know. I can't seem to break these chains that bind me, you know. I can't, and it's just getting worse and worse. I know the time is coming for me to do it, but I can't, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm explaining myself right. I'm just...
No, the situation is you're confused about the situation itself and what you can and cannot do. So therefore, you're confused about how to even convey it to us. So I understand perfectly.
So heal me, save me.
All I'm saying with the situation is the ideal. People have come to me a couple of times and said, wow, you really assess things very quickly. The reason I assess things very quickly is because I've listened to people say, how can I stop second-guessing myself? Okay, from what they said, I've listened to what they said. I've listened to the phrase, and the phrase is very simple. It even has an answer within it. How can I stop second-guessing myself? It's the ideal of stop second-guessing yourself. So what I've done is to realize I've also done a lot of learning and listening, too, as well, to pass on to you, to help you understand that people always wonder what guidance is. At the same time, they're saying they're tired of second-guessing themselves. So therefore, realistically, they do know. So you're not the only one.
Right.
Okay? So it's the idea of what we've been trained and what we've been taught. You know, if you look, we were taught this today. And it's a prime example of the situation, all right? Christians and religion have a tendency when they see you, the very first thing they say to you is, or they hand you a pamphlet on how fucked up you are, okay? I hate to say that, but
no, it's fine with you.
But when you sit there and you take a step back and look at what just happened, that person can only see the worst in you.
Right.
Okay? So what's going on in your life right now is you're tired of seeing the way the world perceives and the way it wants you to see it. Because you see it differently. You can see you're getting to a point where you see the good in people.
Oh, yeah, I see the good in everything and the possibilities and the,
right.
You know.
Well, the difference between spiritual and religion is prejudice. It seems like people that are religious, churches, religious sects, even cults are prejudiced against people who are not a part of the cult, part of the religion, that kind of stuff. But a spiritual person can love themselves unconditionally to the point where they can see God within themselves, so therefore they can see God and the good in everyone else too as well. So what you got to do is look at the situation, the reflections that are coming back at you in your face are saying, you see all these great people that you've run into? They're just reflecting back how great you are too. But now you got to sit here and embrace it. And I'll tell you why. But I know that for a fact. It's because I've had people come to me, and you can ask Terry, people have actually come to the show and say, you're great, you're fantastic. And I have a tendency to go get away from it. I have a tendency to go, no, thank you, and kind of get awkward with the whole thing. So there's a little bit of piece of the situation for me, too, of learning to accept myself.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the idea? Go ahead.
I always say I know I'm not right, but I'm more right than people that think that they're not wrong. Does that make sense?
That's true, too, sweetie. But what you got to do right now is when you're right, you're right.
Right.
People are going to complain about it. Because I had a girlfriend did that one time. She said, I love everything about you except for one thing. I said, what's that? And she said, you're always right. I said, oh, you mean I think I'm right? She goes, no, you're always right. Okay, so I looked at the situation and realized something, okay? I am. But also the way we've been taught, the way we've been treated and the way we've been taught, that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you start accepting yourself for who you are, you start realizing it's not a bad thing. How can we help people see the truth if we can't be truthful with ourselves to realize that we are amazing, awesome people. We're good examples for everybody else, and hopefully we can motivate them to see what they see within us, but also within them. Not just that we're seeing reflections in other people about how great we are, they also take the responsibility of the situation too. They just attracted us into their lives because they're ready to change their lives. They want to be that good person. And here we are. But then their fears kick in and go, you know, you're being egotistic or self-centered or whatever it is. It's a way of knocking you down so they won't have to accept themselves.
Well, that fear is a powerful thing, you know.
That's true, sweetie. But the more strength and the stronger you stay in your own convictions of who you are and refuse to back down, other people will evolve too because they'll have to because we're still in their lives. If they don't evolve, we have a tendency to distance ourselves from the situation or the universe is just basically playing out the law of attraction. Those people are no longer in our freaking frequency track. They're not going to be a part of our lives because of their actions, not ours.
Right.
We're
right.
doing the right thing. Situation. Because I was trying to tell my friend today, Heather's one of them, okay? Heather's mm-hmm. like this. She denounces a lot of things to the point where she has a tendency to tell me to basically tone it down a little bit, as she puts it, in the idea of how I express myself to her, okay?
Right.
And I looked, so I've done this for so long, I was able to actually look at her in the face and say, you know something? Why should I scale it down a little bit because you can't deal with it, okay, and
right.
deal with who I am, which means you're not allowing yourself to be who you are, okay? So
right.
When you start doing this and speaking your mind and being straightforward and doing exactly what you're supposed to do and even doing what you want to do, it also gives you the strength as you tap into your angels and guides, which you know you do, even with the healing part that you do with the massage and that kind of stuff. You still have a healing effect on people. You have certain things
mm-hmm.
that you say to people that heal people just by what you say.
Mm-hmm.
It changes them, and they get better. But, you know, when you tap into the whole thing, you start getting a more strong sense of self, so you're able to keep continuing to speak your
mm-hmm.
mind so you can continue to help people. And your life will mm-hmm. progress. So you're not allowing yourself to actually progress and to become more, because it's what you need to do. You know, you're more than just a massage therapist. You're a healer. I get the impression you're clairvoyant, you're clairaudient. You have a sense
mm-hmm.
of a situation where you sense people and their feelings and that kind of stuff. And you have a very strong
mm-hmm.
sense of really wanting to help people, almost like you're a reincarnated angel.
No.
Wanting to help people unconditionally, you really don't care if you get compensated or not. Now, the reason I tell you need to get compensated, so they will sit there and take you seriously and realize that you have worth for what they give you. Okay?
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because I do a lot of stuff for nothing just because I can. And then, you know, although I don't mind doing it, by the end of the day, sometimes I'm like, wow, that was a lot of work for, you know.
Yeah, but I know, sweetie, but you've got to change your perception too. Because the more money you make, a lot of people have a tendency to falter in their businesses because their perception only sees them as property. And struggling
right.
and surviving, that when they start thriving, they get scared of it, not realizing it's their divine birthright to be prosperous and abundant to whatever that extent is, and to change your
right.
perception accordingly. It's like people who win lotteries. You know, the averages go anymore now that 9 out of 10 people who win the lottery 5 years later are actually more financially distraught than they was when they won the lottery.
Right. Correct.
Because their perception hasn't changed. They're still buying houses on credit when they can buy a house flat out. They're still buying cars because they're so caught up in the worldly thing of never having anything that they're trying to compensate it with materialistic bullshit, not realizing
right.
they have other ways. Because one thing I do is I've had to do the same thing. Today I just bought a pair of shoes. I just bought a pair of shoes for $72.
Wow.
And, yes, the thing is, people are going, well, that's kind of like crazy, isn't it? That's your perception and your way of being taught to be poor, that you
mm-hmm.
don't deserve to have the best. Now, when you start
right.
focusing on the idea of changing your perception and actually buying what you want, and go buy yourself
right.
a $72 pair of shoes, because it's going to teach you one thing. I just realized this. I go to Walmart about every month and a half to buy new shoes
mm-hmm.
because I'm buying cheap shoes. Okay?
Right.
That's right.
I go to the store to buy toilet paper, which usually ends up about every 2 weeks. Okay, so I started looking at the situation. I'm needing more energy to focus on the bigger things, like going to buy a house and stuff like that, manifestation, right? But then I started realizing all the energy that I'm extending on things I don't have to extend every freaking week. I can change it, look for solutions. So I started realizing I could buy toilet paper in bulk, shampoo, laundry detergent that will last me for months.
All right.
So therefore, I can take the month. So I take the energy that I used to extend all the time to go get those things that don't really matter on accumulating that energy for bigger things. But I also change my perception that goes along with it too. So therefore, as I send my intentions out, I can also tell myself I deserve it because I give and give and give. And plus, giving to charity, I probably give about, realistically now, sometimes
mm-hmm.
it could be close to $1,000 in charity.
Right.
And my goal is to sit there and put myself in a financial situation to get everything I want, need, desire, shoes, pants, whatever it is. At the same time, I want to be in a position where I can also do and bless somebody else too as well, even to the point of maybe wanting to get to a point where I can actually donate because I'm so well compensated for what I do and what I put out there. but I can actually give $10,000 in charity.
Right. Well, I heard because, you say well, you had some hands on you earlier. If I was there, I'd put my hands on you.
Thank you. Does anybody do any readings? When's that going to happen? Is it going to happen anytime soon? Anyway.
Where are you at? Where are you guys calling? What part of the world are you in?
Terry's in Pennsylvania. She comes on the show from time to time. And as much as she's here, she should be a co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm actually in Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. I've been to Loveland. Nice place.
That's on the outside of Denver.
And I need to go to Arizona.
Arizona is kind of losing its luxury anymore because everybody's going there.
Well, that's just for a little bit.
You can
and
go there.
California.
I guarantee if you go to Arizona, it's going to propel you to come to Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado is beautiful.
Because I was looking at Sedona. Sedona is a great place in some sense of the word, but commercialism has taken over. So you can come to Manitou Springs and see what Sedona used to look like before commercialism hit. So you see the attraction?
Well, how far is it for me to do my show, though, from there?
If you did your show in Sedona?
And where you're at now.
Okay, ask the question again.
I want to do my show. I want to do TV. And I want to do it.
Oh, yeah. What you do is you get your television show and you come here and do a remote here.
Yeah. Because I'm close to New York City.
I'm just saying, sweetie, when you look at the situation doing television, they kind of look at yourself in the situation and say, okay, look at yourself on the bigger scan of things. If you're going to do a picture, if you're going to do a show like Oprah, the one thing about Oprah is she doesn't look at any kind of limitations. She just starts looking at all the things she can do. Instead of telling herself why she can't do it, she starts looking at situations and solutions on how to do it. Okay?
Yeah.
So you can have one of the biggest shows in the world, and people forget all about Oprah because the Terry show basically made her a
And you even knew the name. You even knew the name of the show. You're good.
Welcome to Terry's Input. Join us as we go down the road to the journey of do ghosts exist or was it just your ex-husband? Anyway, we'll be right back after this with my sponsors.
Through spirituality.
Well, I thank you for talking to me. You give me some insight and I appreciate that.
Oh, no
problem. You have a website, I guess. I'll see it on the thing. Or
I put it in the chat. Are you in chat?
Yeah, it's in the chat. Just go in the chat. You'll see all the things I do and that kind of stuff, the prices and that kind of stuff. I always tell people, go look at the prices. But sometimes if you just come to me and say, this is what I want to do and this is what I want to pay, I've never told anybody no. So.
I feel you. All right, well, I appreciate you, and I hope you have a great rest of the evening, and you too, Terry. Good luck with your new show. I'll tune in. And
there you go.
All right, y'all have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right.
That was a good show, Donnie. You even showed them that you can read. That was a good show. You can even show them that you can read hand, by email.
You should have been in that one show. I don't know if he was here at that one show where Lydia asked if I could remote view and read her palm, and I did.
And I went with the remote view.
Yeah, my remote viewing is different. I actually focus on a subject compared to the government. Let's focus on a feeling.
That sees everything.
Yeah. Touchy feeling. I used to watch April do that, and I said, "I'm sorry, sweetie, but this is the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And what's the point? What is the point?
Yeah.
What's the point of remote viewing? If you can't focus on the subject yourself, especially if it's a missing person or something.
Yeah.
Someone's drunk.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there looking at the situation, go like that. We got one more person.
I'm glad that you said that my hands proved that I do have the ability. I just have to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born with them. I know it came from my mom. and for my mom's mom. I just know that.
Oh, you see. Okay, yeah, because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, too, and it was like, my mom was Christian, my grandmother was in the church, Baptist, Methodist, and my great-grandmother, I'm not sure about my great-grandmother. But when you sit here and listen to the talk and the conversations about these people, I pay attention to my mom because I actually have a chance to interact with her. And you can see she's always saying, I have a feeling. Now, she's going to sit there and look at it as, you know, something totally different. Intuition.
Yeah.
They have no problem with intuition, but when you say psychic abilities or spiritual abilities, everybody freaks. So they have a tendency to go,
yeah.
What's the difference between, say, what's the difference between intuition and psychic abilities? Fear. People who are scared to death of it call it intuition.
The fear to admit what they're doing.
Yeah, people who are already cool with it, they'll call it psychic, spiritual, whatever, you know. They're open-minded to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of funny, too, that lady asked me a question about what's the difference between spiritual and religion. That message came through me so quickly, I knew it came from another source, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, it's prejudice. You know, prejudice will stand a lot of way. But sometimes people don't realize that they are prejudiced. They're just thinking on a worldly sense, what they've been taught and told. So if they have no problems against any kind of race, they say, I'm not prejudiced. You know, but they don't realize in the process of not loving somebody unconditionally, they're still being prejudiced on some level.
Yeah. And, you know, and you're probably going to say, yeah, I'm crazy because they sense preachers of any kind do not like me.
No, I think I got it the other day. Was downtown preaching and talking about Jesus and stuff. And every time I walk by, he wouldn't give me the eye contact. So I'm not looking at it as like what's your situation. It's not that I don't like you. It's a form of prejudice.
But they fear me.
Yeah,
they
fear you.
What I can do.
Yeah, prejudice is being prejudiced to somebody is a fear of them.
And how do they fear me? If they know what I can do,
because the
then
idea
they
what you can do.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. You're threatening them because they want people to come. See, that's one thing about the situation of being true spiritual. Okay, true spirit people. Mm-hmm. When I sit here in the shop, I have a tendency to get a little fearful too. The idea of attracting people to come to the shop, right? When I should look back on past experiences, when people have actually showed up at the shop saying that they were actually prompted or guided to come there in certain situations like that. So what I need to do when I get a little fearful, I need to go back on those situations and go, okay, people come here all the time from everywhere. I had a lady come from a foreign country just to come and see me. I think she came from either Scotland or Iowa. Said she was having dreams about me. I've had people call me and say, I had dreams about you, literally. I said, really? I'm scared. But I'm just saying what the situation is and all the things that play out. Huh?
I don't remember my dreams.
Oh.
I think I just blocked them, though.
It could be. Like you said before, maybe it's not the idea of working on the ideal of your, you know, having abilities. It's the idea of working on laying down the resistance so you can actually experience them to the fullest.
Yeah, because when it would happen before, you know, and the worst one was whenever I asked a friend what her daughter was going to do when she graduated, and all I saw was total blackness. And
oh.
I just like, I know, I just like, my face went like total shock.
Oh, shoot.
And I said I didn't understand why I saw total blackness. Explain to me why. So I didn't, you know, but
well,
I knew.
Well, I'm just saying, well, the situations could also be all kinds of stuff. You know, for psychics to experience extreme darkness could also be an influence of everything at one time.
Well, I asked, I said, what are you going to do after you graduate high school? She was killed in a car wreck Mother's Day. And the kid said, she can't do nothing. She can't do nothing. Explain to me. She can't do nothing. And that's what happened.
Hmm.
But I didn't get it.
Right.
It bothered me, but I didn't. Yeah, I didn't want to tell her mom.
Yeah. I'm just saying, the situation when you sit here and see the darkness and stuff, So, I mean, sometimes it's, look at the situation. We always talk about people dying or just passing on. And then they go right into spirit. What is spirit? Spirit is pure energy. So, therefore, they're out of the darkness. And what you saw was somewhere where she's going. And the idea of what she's going to fill a darkness, some things of her passing on, so people can look at it as a positive thing instead of a negative thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, she did come and visit me once right after, and I said, please don't come back. I'm not ready to see you yet, because it was, like, real fast. And I said, you're scaring me. Don't come back for a little while, please. But I get messages from her all the time from other people. Mm-hmm. They'll just pipe in and say, hey, do you have a friend that, you know, had a daughter that... And I'm like, yeah. She wants me to tell you this.
Yeah, that's crazy. Sounds good. Hey, let me go in here. I want to ask a question. Hello.
Hey, I've just been listening to your conversation. It's awesome. I didn't know you guys did like an after show.
I don't remember doing an after show.
So
I always
have
an agenda. I want to get done. I want to go. And then I get caught in situations, conversations, and I just feel compelled to go, you know something? I've actually done this. If I don't get to everybody, even in the after show, and I know your phone number, I will call you back and give you a chance to ask two free questions.
Oh, you are awesome. Well,
what's
your name? Her name is Lisa.
Oh, another Lisa.
Hello. I just had two questions. One was about a gentleman named David and a new career change for me.
Hold on. Let's see. Okay, ask your question one more time. I'm sorry we didn't get to you as quick as we could, but...
David, is there anything going to... We've been talking and texting, but is anything going to occur with us? Or is a change of career for me? I'm currently a nurse, and I'm looking into going into forensics.
Okay, so you have a guy named David.
Mm-hmm.
And you want everything to go happen with David.
Yeah. Is this serious or are we just flirting?
So how far has this situation gotten so far?
We're very comfortable with each other. I mean, it feels very comfortable with each other.
How long have you known each other?
About a month and a half.
When I look at the situation, David and his situation, it just seems like there's something about the situation too. I can understand the comfortable part about that situation, but I still feel like the ideal communication could be up a little bit.
More communication.
Yes. I mean, communication has to be in a format of the ideal situation. I'm a relationship counselor, and I believe when we think we found our significant selves, we also find our significant others. So it's the idea of trusting yourself and asking yourself, okay, what do you feel? And trusting that beyond the shadow of a doubt. So when he starts acting as in his movement different than what you're picking up, you will trust that what you feel is the truth.
Okay.
Because, I mean, when you sit here with the situation relationships, right now, guys are dumbasses. Okay, they get into a situation, they come on like gangbusters, they want this, this, and this, and this. They say, I want a relationship, and blah, blah, blah. Then it becomes a reality. They have a tendency to be looking for the door.
Yes.
when I think conversation and communication has a tendency to shut the door. But it's also the idea of being bold and straightforward with people, okay? Seriously. It's the idea when a guy comes to you and say about 2 months down the road, David comes to you and says, I don't know what I really want. Your job is to say, get the fuck out. Okay, I'm not your therapist. Okay, I'm not your therapist. I'm not your psychologist. I'm your girlfriend. And if he comes back and says, well, I'm not sure about that either. Well, there you go. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Because I do know what I want. And I do know what it is. And I do see it for what it is. If you can't see it for what it is, then you can't see me, which means you can't see yourself. So when you can find yourself, come on back.
Yeah.
Until then, don't. And I tell you like this. I'm very intuitive. So if you come back here bullshitting me, I'll give you a boot to the ass out the door. Because it's the idea. We're being too babyish, treating people who have problems and issues, not realizing that's not our responsibility. We didn't cause them. They meant
I'm a nurse.
In our lives.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Everybody wants to be catered.
but when you look at the situation, we've manifested each other in our lives to have a great relationship, and we know we have fears to face. Either face the fears or get out. Because that's why I'm in your life right now, for you to face this. If you're having issues about relationships, you're in one, so face it. So it's the idea of looking at the situation and realizing just how much leverage we have if we just have the backbone to use it and realize that we might actually get a conversation afterwards where he'll snap out of it. Because I've actually done this. I remember when I was talking to April, and she came, we started talking and stuff, and she was just giving me all these excuses. And I know for a fact that excuses are things that people create to keep them from where they really want to be. So it's also a confirmation. They really want to be with you. So therefore, you got to sit and put it out there. You want to be with me? Okay, don't set me to hang around until you figure it out, because you don't have the right to do that. So therefore, take the responsibility of your actions or lack of and do something about it. But when she kind of happened, we got into this conversation. I was there talking to her, and she was like, you know something? She started talking about all kinds of stuff. And I just finally said, forget this. Let's go for the punch, right? Go straight to the point and say, hey, how do you feel? And she said, well, I see it as his friends. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't ask you what you saw. I'm asking how you feel. And then I get a person stumbling. Well, I'm tired of hearing this. And then she came back and said, well, she goes, until you're ready to be my friend, you don't call me. I said, no. When you're ready to be my girlfriend and have a real relationship, you call me. And I hung up on her. And people think that's kind of childish in some sense where, no, I was done talking. That's a difference. People have a tendency to hang up to get an effect, so that person will call them back. I wasn't wanting her to call back. I wanted to send a message and say, you know something? I'm not going to deal with this every freaking day. Either you deal with it now or die, because if you don't, you're not going to have me in your life. I had another person I was talking to saying, you know, you're sitting here every time something happens in your life in a relationship, every time I say commitment, relationship, you freak. Which tells me it's more of a fear than it is emotional stuff that you came through. Because the fear will kick in, make you defensive. No, I don't want to deal with that relationship. So I sit there and say, okay, fine. You keep playing the game with yourself. But I guarantee you, I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody. It could be you, but I guarantee you, it's the idea of certain things I feel. It's going to happen. And you should sit there and look at yourself and what you want before you put yourself in a position that you wish you would have had. Because the world goes on. Progression happens. But we have to put these people in those positions to help them understand that if you don't sit there and face your fears, move on, life goes on. So do people. And we're not going to deal with it. We actually know what we want. So since you're not going to sit there and give us what we want, we're going to realize right then and there, I never put on my list, I want an indecisive person. Or my favorite thing, number five, is to have a person have his ass, or she. I never put these things on my list. We have to sit there and be totally honest with ourselves and say, you know something, I'm not dealing with you. I don't have to. Because that's the biggest thing I get with emotions and people asking how people feel and that kind of stuff. It's not your job to play charades to figure it out. It's the idea of trusting yourself and acting like this person does love me and care about me. And have the backbone to say that to them. Because, you know, when you make these decisions, you're just respecting yourself because they're not really respecting themselves and the idea of following their emotions. Right now, between you and David, it seems like a fantastic situation. when I sit here and say up the ante on the freaking communication, it's the idea of being very blunt and very straightforward, that when something does come up, it hits you as a red flag, it needs to be discussed. When you have that red flag, that's the time you're supposed to discuss it, not next week. So if you have a guy that says, well, I'm too busy, so can we schedule this for next week? No. Because it's happening now. It also helps people to realize the one thing, relationships happen now,
right,
not next week. Realizations are happening now, not next week. I had a lady that to me once, and she goes, let's do the reading with somebody. All these realizations come up. I'm not ready to face them. She goes, what do you think about that? I said, yes, you are. Because realizations don't present themselves until you're ready to face them. So therefore, it's time to do just that. And relationships are the biggest ones, are the reflections. Because you're going to learn more from, it's the idea of what you do, okay? The best thing you need to do in this situation is really be honest with yourself on the idea of communication and realizing one thing, okay?
Okay.
With this situation with him, the more you learn from the reflection, the closer you get.
Okay.
When you stop not listening to the listening and looking at the reflections for what they are, and you start second-guessing them or being fearful, you're going to create blocks between the two, and you're going to push each other farther apart. That's what I mean by communication. Something comes up, and Dave is doing this. He's being indecisive, or whatever it is. It's something that is out of character.
Uh-huh.
It needs to be discussed at the time that you notice it. And if you can't take the time to do that, because people say, well, you got to give them space to think about it. It's happening right now. So he's having a problem with you, an issue. Distance is usually caused not because of somebody nailing somebody else on the side. It's usually caused by people focusing and thinking about their things. See, I don't like the idea of people making things normal while he's in his man cave. Well, snatch him out of it. So that's avoidance. That's avoiding life. I'm hanging out here having a good time. Okay, what are you? I'm sorry, my biggest problem, too, with relationship counseling is how I present things and how I am, okay? When I'm in a relationship, I heard this before. I met this gal on the Internet. Well, good for you. Uh-oh. But I was sitting there trying to be, I'm sorry, I was just joking, and I said, you know something, you met the gal on the Internet. And I'm sitting there trying to be open-minded about the whole thing, and we've been talking for 8 months. So I asked a question. So how far do you guys live from each other? 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Does anybody else see that problem there in the situation of avoidance? And then every time she said, well, he's busy. He got this. You know, this is the thing. I don't care what anybody says. I can say this very confidently because I've been doing readings for a very long time. And when I start, I've seen patterns with guys and freaking physical ailments. I just heard this for the fourth time. The guy goes, well, he's a little distant. We haven't really been able to meet each other because he has a physical ailment. Okay, great. The guy goes to the gym. He does gardening. He does all this freaking stuff. But since he has this physical ailment, he can't come see her. I sat there and said, don't you see the lie? And I was sitting there going, this is crazy. And I said, well, so we even more worried about it. This is the fourth time I've heard this excuse. You know? I said, what's the matter, man? Your penis don't work? They got vacuum cleaners? They got vacuum cleaners. They got... There's two, see, the thing of what I work on is the idea of always finding solutions, all right? So every time someone has a question about anything with a certain situation with a guy, I'm a guy, okay?
I appreciate the guy's point of view.
Right. So when you sit here and look at the situation, like, for example, the reason I have a tough time with timing and people and distance, okay, these people are 20 minutes away from each other. There's no reason why they should have seen each other in the first week, okay? Because when realistically, when I meet people...
Well, that's not a problem we have, so...
Yeah, I meet people all the time. I meet people. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I meet people all the time in person. When I see something or feel something, I say it. Okay, I'm the contradiction of some people say I have a tendency. For a male, I have no problem speaking my mind. But I think men have a tendency to jump on the bandwagon, books, and self-help books, not to help themselves, but to also find information and excuses to justify their actions or lack of. Because that's such a, I used to do this when I was married. My ex-wife left me and took the kids to Maryland, and I was living in Ohio. So in the process of working this thing out, I would actually drive. On the day I got off, I used to work in a third shift job. I would get off of work on Friday, or I guess you would say, yeah, the thing was, our Friday was a Thursday, because we got off Thursday morning, and we didn't have to come back until Monday.
Right.
Or Sunday night, sorry. So what I would do is I would get in my car, drive to Maryland just to see my kids, for about 3 hours, 4 hours, and then drive back. I did this for a while. But see, the point of the situation is these guys who make up all these freaking excuses, that's all they are. Because see, every time I would get in a situation, of any kind of situation I've been into, girlfriends, whatever, I've actually been known to hitchhike to meet somebody because I said I was going to, and I didn't have the means at the time to do that, and I sit here and talk to her about it, worked out an arrangement, and said, I don't have anything right now. And then the person was like, but you really want me to see if this actually does work. I think they were kind of freaked out that I actually followed through and did what I said I was going to do, to the point where they didn't really think about it on the outcome on the other side, what was going to go.
Well,
so,
I'm a very tenacious kind of gal, and like I said, I'm a nurse, and I hear everybody's problems, but I'm also, on my personal time, don't like any excuses, and I've worked on myself quite a bit in the last 6 years, and it's nice to have the attention that I'm getting, and I wanted to know if I should, if we should just, I'd like to just remain friends and keep moving forward casually until it becomes something more, but I also wanted to see what you saw or how you felt about the situation.
Well, my situation, what I think realistically, too, is the idea of looking at yourself, and don't take this the wrong way, but kind of work on your own issues, too, as well. Because anybody who sits there and talks about focusing on relationships and trying to control it on any kind of format,
mm-hmm.
slow, letting it progress, and all those things like that, is not allowing the relationship. Because the relationship, it's like the example, okay? The river of life is the relationship, all right? It flows
right. Constantly.
It's low, constantly moving on, okay?
Right.
And you are in the structure part of the whole thing. You're in the canoe. You're going down the river of life. Now, within the confines of that canoe, you can have a partner. You can
mm-hmm.
both have oars. You could both throw your oars away. You can sit here and make love all you want to in a canoe. But one thing that's going to happen, no matter what you do within the canoe itself, the river of life continues to go. But the one thing you can't control is the flow of that river. And the more you look, more you just understand, that's how, just go with the flow of things and see how they progress. Any kind of control also gives you insights to a fear that you haven't faced and haven't let go of yet. So have fun in the canoe. But let the river of life and the relationship itself, just let it be, because it will be what it's going to be. And the situation
okay.
with David, too, if he has any kind of issues, too, as well, the more you let it go with the flow of things, I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to speak your mind.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's part of the flow, too. That's part of the flow.
I learned that in
the
last relationship.
Yeah, when somebody says something, I always say speak your mind, no matter what. No
yep.
matter what. Because it's the
I
idea
like
of if there's a voice within you prompting you to say something, and you know for a fact it's the truth, it needs to be said.
Good. All right. So, going on to the career. should I change it to forensic?
Look, it's like asking yourself a question, one real quick, okay? When you sit here and think about this career change, does it make you feel passionate? Do you love
yes.
it? Do you can see the,
yes.
all the possibilities in a positive way?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, good luck. Anyway, I'm just saying, when you sit there, and that's what I've always been taught, the idea of passion. Passion is the key.
Yeah,
people say, well, what's my life purpose? It's a service and something you're passionate about. Okay, so
yeah.
then you sit there and look at what you're passionate about, you find your service. Okay, also look at the situation. I've always sit there and seen this, too. When people find their life purpose, it either confirms that they already have their life partner or they find their life partner because they're one and the same. So we have all kinds
repeat
of examples.
That, repeat that once again. Life partner.
When you find your life purpose, you find your life partner. And if you already think you're with them, it'll confirm to you that you're right or wrong. And then you can sit there and see all these ideals and signs that you start realizing that life is very simple. And the only reason it's confusion is because I'm thinking too much.
I love that. That's a wonderful. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
We have so many examples of love itself. Look at the idea of water itself. Water is two elements of two different elements, like man and woman. But when they come
yes.
together, they create a powerful force. And it's up to the it's like up to the forces within the confines of water that actually determines if it's going to be destructive or constructive.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate the insight.
If you ever get a chance, I would love to sit down with you on a private session and do some past life work too, because I think there's some issues that could actually explain a lot of things from your past experiences, relationships this time, that if we did some past lives, it might actually help you understand who you are and why you're so forward about certain things because of being confound as being a woman in certain past lives. And that now sometimes you feel the same way here, but you don't realize it's a different time.
Hmm. I can relate to that. I can understand that. Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you again. You all are wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Sherry. Sherry's having trouble.
Can you hear me?
You all right? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Well, I thought you were reading her very well and was just listening to it.
Okay, I gotta go.
You're leaving. It's time to say goodbye.
It's time to say goodbye. So, Eric, say it with us, man. M-I-C-K-E-Y. Y? See you real, because we like you. M-O-C-C.
Why?
Because
we love
you. Real
soon.
As we always say, okay. Like we always say it after every show, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And to help people understand what that saying, the last one says give love where love is given, because love is always given, so give it back. All right. That kind of gives me shivers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Like I said, we'll also see you guys tomorrow night, 8 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm trying to find my off button. Kind of a